darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and I'm joined still with 1J. Jason Tross is here on my right. Mr. Reed is still under the weather. So I ask you guys to join us in praying for him, that the Lord will restore him to full strength. I don't know if you follow Jeff on social media, but if you do, you probably saw what contributed to his sickness as he was posting what was going on while his wife was out of town. I'm not going to say much more than that, but I saw Jeff's wife this morning, and she said, oh, the struggle post. but we certainly are praying for our brother, Jeff. Marty is not in the screening room. He was in the screening room. But I told Marty, it's unlikely we're going to get to calls today. I'm sorry. I so love taking calls. But sometimes I just run out of show. I do, and I don't want to have people holding on the lines and not being able to get through. So I have a lot going on, but we have a guest in studio. A guest is here already. He's not in the studio room, but he's present on the grounds. And you'll see him shortly. A pretty significant topic, in my opinion. And we're going to jump into that. But let me just say, as I do regularly, as most of you right now are listening, most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs. And I describe it that way because I mean that with every ounce of sincerity that is in me. I truly believe that the Lord is calling us to have a refocus, to refocus in on serving our families well. Of course, not to the neglect of faithfulness outside of our family. But for too long, I would say several decades at a minimum, but it's really been a longer march than that. One of the major casualties, it's kind of been a symbiotic impact for with the advance of second wave feminism that has resulted in the emasculation of the man. But not only that, it has been a consistent drumbeat to systematically decimate the family. I mean, you check every metric, the things that become problematic in civil society, they are all directly connected to the family. And my prayer for our country, and particularly for those who listen to this program, that the Lord will empower us by his grace to arrest that deficiency and reverse it, that we would serve our families well, that we would esteem heaven more than Harvard, that we place more emphasis on cultivating followers of the Lord Jesus Christ than people who are seeking the American dream or seeking to achieve a college scholarship of some sort. I'm not knocking education, but I'll tell you, education and academia are not synonymous terms. I think in many instances, if we were honest, I'm not talking about the bumper sticker type of response. I'm not talking about, you know, the Sunday morning go to meeting response. You know, how you doing, sister? Girl, I'm blessed. Highly favored, no matter what's going on, blessed. And then some of the people who ask the question, they ask, but not really wanted to know how the people are doing. I'm not talking about the Sunday go to meeting greeting. I'm talking about if you would ask and we would introspectively look at what we esteem in our homes. Most of us, if we were honest, we esteem baseball playing and soccer games and basketball tournaments. And college scholarships more than we do the life of Christ being inculcated in the lives of our offspring. I'm just keeping it real. You know, my prayer is that we will reverse that, man. I'm not against none of those other things. I mean, you guys know I played basketball growing up. That was fun. I enjoyed that. But all of that pales in comparison to knowing Christ and being known by him. And so my prayer is that we would live in the reality as articulated by the prophet Malachi, that the hearts of the fathers will be turned to the sons, to the children, and the hearts of the children will be turned to the fathers, that family would be once again positioned, not as an idol, but understanding God's divine fingerprint on that institution. And that as a result of recognizing who God is and what he seeks for mankind to be, we would have an appropriate estimation of how we serve our families well. So as you make your way to your full-time jobs, man, let's show up with hard hat, lunch pail, and steel-toe boots in hand to engage in doing the work of the ministry. Amen. Now we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 23. Yeah, Pastor Carl, I played basketball. You can check it out. Pastor Carl is typing on Facebook. Abe got handles, question mark? Let me find out. Don't get cross now, Pastor Carl. Don't let me hit you with the 1-2 now. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 23. The significance of this particular portion of scripture is that the Apostle Peter is writing to an audience that is on the precipice of hard persecution. The audience that Apostle Peter is writing to is an audience that is on the precipice of hard persecution. So it hadn't started in full earnest yet to the full capacity that it will get to soon after the time that the Apostle Peter pens this epistle. But they're on the precipice of it. And these are some of Apostle Peter's words of exhortation as the Spirit of God carried him on to pen this epistle. Verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action, or girding up the loins of your mind, and being sober, set your hope fully, oh God, on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Who knew ignorance could be filled with passion? Come on, man. Anyway, let me keep going. Verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Verse 17, and if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. My goodness. So as this young, oh God, young church, this early Christian community of believers are on the precipice of hard persecution, the Apostle Peter says, don't deny it. Gird up the loins of your mind. Being sober, having appropriate estimation for where you are and what's going on, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Peter says the revelation of Jesus Christ, he's talking about Jesus' return. So he's saying, listen, as you see this stuff coming, set your hope fully on the grace that is revealed in Jesus Christ. Not partially, not being content with having, you know, a little bit of fire insurance, not being content with, oh, yes, how are you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. No, set your hope fully on the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that is in him, and on the full realization of that grace when he returns. As obedient children, not being confirmed to the passions of your former ignorance. Oh, Lord. It's amazing to consider how almost like deaf and dumb animals prior to Jesus Christ breaking the power of sin in our lives and drawing us into his glorious family, how the passions of carnality and the passions of the flesh just led you around like a horse with a bit in its mouth. Not being conformed to those passions. What a sad, oh God, what a sad testimony. To profess to be in Christ, nevertheless still being bound to the passions of former ignorance. This is why I'm saying, those who would propound the notion that deliverance is not available, that denies the truth of the Lord's word. Brothers and sisters, let us not live below the snake line while where we are professing to be Christ followers, but still defined, dictated to, and driven around by the passions of former ignorance. Then it goes on, but as he who called you is holy, be holy. And this is the thing that I'm endeavoring, even in my local assembly, as we're having these conversations and having these communications, the exhortations for holiness is not because we're trying to, you know, like the Boy Scouts, achieve a shininess holiness badge. No, holiness is necessary to be able to stand up under the full weight of persecution. There's a scripture that says if you can't, if you're wearied by the footmen, how will you be able to run with horses? If you can't even withstand in the privacy of your own home with no one else around, not denying the lordship of Jesus Christ, how then will you be able to stand if the government is threatening your inheritance, threatening your livelihood, threatening your home? You get what I'm saying? Holiness is not something that God desires just so we can run around impressing one another. Whoa, look at what I've achieved, like it's in school or something. Well, I've graduated from grade 3 holiness. Now I'm going to grade 4 holiness. Nah, man, holiness is necessary because in order to stand the pressure of a culture that has rejected Christ and has turned itself against the Lord, there must be an internal connection with eternity that transcends our perception of this present life. There must be an internal connection with eternity that allows us, in the face of people gathering rocks to toss stones at us, that we can see the Lord standing on the right side of the Father. That would allow us to utter things like, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Like Stephen. You get what I'm saying? It's not holiness just for holiness sake. And let me fast forward because I know I'm there's so much in this text. I don't want to run out of time. But the Apostle Peter says, conducting yourselves with reverential fear throughout the time of your exile. You know, a lot of us, man, we just to be blunt, we're in love with the world system. We don't view this as exile. We view this as, Osteenianism, living my best life now. When you're looking at it as exile, think about Daniel and the Hebrew boys. How the Bible said the exile into Babylon, Daniel was exiled into Babylon, but Babylon never entered Daniel. He was found daily turning toward the west, toward Jerusalem, crying out to the Lord. He never allowed Babylon and even the high positioning he achieved in Babylon to deny him of his heart and his longings for Jerusalem. That is how we should be. No matter how great our lives may be or no matter how difficult our lives may be, this present station should not rob us of our longing for our eternal home. Going on, then Peter mentions, having purified your souls by obedience to the truth, have sincere brotherly love. Or as it says in the King James, unfeigned love. Not pretense, unfeigned love, and loving one another earnestly from a pure heart. That means stretched out love, resolute, intense, intentional love for one another. I'm saying that because I was talking yesterday about it being embroiled in civilian affairs. And many of these civilian issues that are external to the church, many of us Christ followers have embraced and adopted them. And it's cutting against our ability to have stretched out love for the body. Man, listen, when the bullets start flying, you're not going to be asking questions, what kind of skin color does my fellow Christ follower have when we need to take shelter in one another's homes, when we need to share food together, and we need to live together? I'm saying, let us take the admonition from Scripture and begin to live these things out now. Because if you haven't noticed yet, Christianity is being pushed to the margins. People are not going to like the fact that you refuse to bow to their man-made statues.
Planned Parenthood exposed by a powerful pen. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Justice Thomas took on Planned Parenthood and the issue of abortion in a truth-filled opinion. One of his condemnations was that abortion can be used as a eugenics tool. Eugenics is basically controlled breeding. Certain characteristics in people are chosen as desirable. Then methods are used to increase those characteristics. It's completely unethical, and the consequences are terrifying. Justice Thomas correctly pointed out that Planned Parenthood's history is rooted in eugenics. Its founder, Margaret Sanger, wanted abortion to prevent so-called unfit people from being born. The legacy of murdering unborn children based on their race, sex, or disability continues today. And Justice Thomas made a frightening observation. Technological advances are only increasing the eugenic potential for abortion. This hideous practice needs to end now. Every life is precious. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
Hi, this is Ron Ball, and this is your Choose Greatness Minute. A number of years ago, I was scheduled to speak at a community service at a church in a particular town. I arrived early. It was a cold February day, and I took a walk. As I rounded a particular block, I saw a house and instantly felt I was supposed to knock on the door. I kept walking and passed the house a second time and again felt I should knock on the door. I walked up on the porch, knocked on the door, and a man opened it holding a shotgun. He looked at me and said, "Thank God you've come." He was planning suicide and had just prayed that if God was real, he would send a messenger to tell him about Jesus, and there I stood. He came to Christ that day. Always pay attention when God speaks to you. Always listen, be sensitive, and listen to what God is telling you to do. It really, really matters. You can learn more at choosegreatness.com.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Police in Miami Beach, Florida, arrested a woman over the weekend when she was spotted stomping on a sea turtle nest and jabbing it with a wooden stake. The woman faces a criminal charge for, quote, turtle egg molestation or harassment, end quote. The sea turtle was protected as an endangered species in 1973, which means unborn sea turtles gained protection the same year that unborn babies lost theirs. Planned Parenthood currently gets $500 million a year to operate abortion clinics. Bottom line, destroy unborn sea turtles, go to jail. Destroy unborn babies, get rich. Speaking of the sea turtle, the Miami Beach police said, thankfully, it appears the eggs were not damaged. The same can't be said for unborn babies.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm so excited to have in studio with me my current guest. If you're watching the show on the multiple outlets, YouTube, Facebook, whatever, Twitter, and you can subscribe to the Hamilton Corners channel on YouTube for now. you can follow me on the at Hamilton Corner on Twitter. You can find the Hamilton Corners Facebook page. But you'll see my guest in studio now to my left is a brother in the faith, a soldier in the army of the Lord, and the frontline soldier at that. My brother, Les Riley. Les, thank you for joining me here on the Hamilton Corner.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Praise God. Well, I want to let you guys know, I met Les originally involved in a work where the lives of unborn babies were being protected, being brought into the world, and not only that, where the mothers were being cared for and the families were being cared for, providing all manner of resources. And that's how I initially met this brother at the Memphis Morning Center. But he was involved in an initiative prior to that that he's still involved in that I wanted to talk about with you today called Personhood Mississippi. So I guess if you want, let's just start just explaining a little bit about what the Memphis Morning Center does, because it's an example of you hear this lie, frankly, that people who support protection of the Imago Dei in its most vulnerable form in unborn children do not care about those children nor their families after they're born. And so just share a little bit about what that is, and then I'll ask a follow-up question.
Yeah, and that's a good segue to what we're talking about today, because this is a component of the Sanctuary Cities project we're about to launch. But what the Morning Center is, and maybe I need to say real quick, I wrote a chapter in the Personhood book on the Morning Center and how it was the antithesis of Planned Parenthood, and I addressed that very issue.
Yeah.
What are you doing for these moms? And, you know, I think the first answer to that needs to be, how dare you? You know, imagine you coming to me and saying, you're not providing homes for all these Jews, so you have no right to say you can't carry out the Holocaust. You're not providing homes for Tutsis, so you can't say the Hutus can't kill them in Rwanda, in the Rwandan genocide.
Yeah.
You do not have the moral high ground if you think it's okay to kill children.
That's right.
To say, if you won't do anything for me, you don't have a right to. It is wrong because it's a violation of God's law.
That's right.
But that being said, it's also a lie that the church and Christians aren't doing anything. And the Morning Center is a perfect example of that. I ran the Morning Center for 3 years in Memphis. I helped bring it to Memphis prior to that as a volunteer. And then they're still working. They've delivered about 700 babies. And what they do, they offer full service maternity clinics in inner city neighborhoods, with doctors, nurses, ultrasonographers, support staff, and they provide high-quality maternity care absolutely free without any government money in the name of Christ, surrounded by gospel care. And at last count, I think they've delivered about 700 babies.
And it's important to point that out. And I know we don't have to, but I point that out just to give the listening audience another example of just how nonsensical and how deceptive that assertion is. You said it perfectly. Any accusation that, oh, well, you can't stand up against the killing of human beings because you're not providing this additional service for the human beings down the line, it's just ridiculous. You know, you can't store, like you said, give haven for Jews in your home for the Holocaust because you're not building a house for them on the next block. I mean, it's just a ridiculous assertion.
Yeah, and the other thing I think that's ludicrous about that assertion is that, you know, what they really mean when they say, what are you doing for these children, is, are you going to support more government social welfare programs? Mm-hmm. You know, if you really cared, you'd be advocating for more socialism. And having worked among the urban poor, having worked among the rural poor, I've seen what government compassion looks like. Mm. And no, I'm not going to support that.
That's right. That's right. And it's absolutely it's ludicrous on many fronts. So I just wanted to share that example. Because you won't see much of that talked about in the Talking Snake media. They won't show things like that. Things like that are happening all over the country.
Right.
But it doesn't grab headlines because it doesn't fit the narrative that Talking Snakes want to advocate. Now, having said that, I'd like for you to explain a little bit to the audience what Personhood Mississippi is, and then I'll ask you a follow-up question about this idea of sanctuary cities for the unborn.
Okay. Well, what Personhood Mississippi is it's very simple. It's an organization that began with a very simple premise of providing equal protection under the law for all human beings from the moment of conception to natural death without regard to size, location, physical disabilities, race, gender, what crimes their parents may or may not have permitted. Mm-hmm. It looks at the human being as equally valuable as created in the image of God. And so what we did was, in Roe versus Wade, as you're well aware, they left a huge unanswered question. We don't know whether or not the unborn child is a person. Mm-hmm. And Harry Blackmun said, if the unborn child could be defined as a person, or what he called the fetus, then they already have rights under the 14th Amendment, and the case for legal abortion crumbles.
Yeah.
And they also pointed out that the Texas law they were challenging had exceptions to abortion. Mm-hmm. And so they said, you don't even treat this like a human being. And so what Personhood Mississippi was begun with was the very simple premise that the people of Mississippi do know what a person is, mm-hmm. you know. And so we attempted, we collected 130,000 signatures. We attempted to pass a law that recognized the personhood of the unborn and not to really challenge Roe as much to answer Roe.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to more of that about that in the Sanctuary Cities discussion. But mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it failed. We got about 43% of the vote. Planned Parenthood, who doesn't even operate the abortion clinic in Mississippi, spent $1.5 million of all those tax dollars we're giving them to defeat the amendment with a lot of misinformation and things like that. But so the next day people said, well, what's personhood Mississippi going to do now? And I said, well, yesterday they were killing children in my state under the guise of judicial fiat, pretending mm-hmm. it was legal. Now they're doing it by majority vote.
Mm.
We're going to do exactly the same thing.
Mm.
We're going to love our neighbor. We're going to love God. We're going to seek to reestablish the rule of law and equal justice in our state. And that's what Personhood Mississippi, which is part of the Personhood Alliance now, a national and international organization, is all about, is equal protection under the law.
Mm. Now, I've said many times, because I was presented this first, the first time I was asked this question was in a legal context where an attorney thought he had me against the ropes. Literally said to me, well, Abraham, you're talking all of this about protecting unborn children. Well, the Constitution does not mention unborn children anywhere in the document, yet you profess to be a constitutionalist. And I responded to him. I think it was one of those moments where the Lord brought it back to my memory because I hadn't mm-hmm. studied for anything like that. I responded to him, even before we get to the amendments, the Founding Fathers articulated in the preamble to the United States mm-hmm. Constitution, which I'm pretty sure you're familiar with the fundamental rules of grammar, introductory paragraph, body of the paragraph, conclusion, that the introductory paragraph to the United States Constitution includes in it protecting the blessings of liberty
mm-hmm.
for ourselves and to our posterity. So I said, first and foremost, you have the Founding Fathers recognizing that liberty is first and foremost a blessing.
Right.
A blessing received indicates that there is a blesser.
Right.
So first you have in the Constitution, not only in the Declaration, but in the Constitution, acknowledgement of God as a provider of liberties. And secondarily, you have clear and explicit reference by the Founding Fathers in the preamble to future generations of Americans, not right. generally, but with the express purpose of preserving for future generations of Americans the blessings of liberty. So the right. foundation of the latter verbiage from the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, the foundation for it exists already in the First Amendment.
Right.
So when you have this idea, fast forward to where we are now, in the conversation about a declaration of the establishment of sanctuary cities for the unborn, is it not an effort to do what the Constitution already articulates, which is to secure the blessings of liberty for our posterity?
Right. And I would add to that that not just the 14th Amendment, but as you know, the Fifth Amendment says each state will be guaranteed a Republican form of government in which no person shall be denied
right.
the right to life without
That's
due
right.
process of law. And so, yes, part of what Sanctuary Cities is doing is reestablishing that.
Mm-hmm.
But going back even further, you know, our whole nation was founded as a result of the Reformation, which included the biblical doctrine of the lesser magistrate.
That's right.
Where if an unjust edict comes down, an individual citizen has very little protection against it. It's arguable whether or not they can or even should defy it. But that lesser magistrate, that local government official, has a duty before God and before his constituents to interpose against unjust laws. So if there is a federal judge who, by the way, courts don't make law. A court decision is not law, and if you treat it like one, you are participating in their idolatry and rebellion. it's like if the county sheriff over in Itawamba County said, I don't think they're writing enough tickets in Lee County. Mm. Well, you'd say, well, that's nice. You know, that's nice that you think that. If he came over and set up roadblocks with his deputies and started writing tickets in Lee County, he would be a usurper because that's not his legitimate sphere of authority. And if you paid the tickets, you'd be participating in his usurpation.
Now, one of the things that's remarkable, this entire conversation, and this is actually a question I had following a previous question, But you see some of the people around our country, interestingly enough, attempting to implement some form of this idea of lesser magistrates when you see, for example, cities in our entire states declaring themselves sanctuary states mm-hmm. and sanctuary cities for illegal aliens.
Right.
Flying in the face, not of a judicial opinion rendered, but congressionally passed statutes that require states to support
right.
the federal framework concerning illegal aliens. So how does that impact
Well, what's really interesting is we are taking a page out of the Less Pay book, yes. Another example is, you know, long before Obergefell, another judicial usurpation pretended that two men or two women are married. There were cities issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. There were cities defying federal and state rulings. Mm-hmm. And so the left has been doing this for years. But it just like everything else the left does, everything else the enemy does, they don't come up with anything on their own. They have to steal from the Christian worldview mm-hmm. to do anything that makes sense. So we're going backwards, and we're reclaiming the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. Mm. And so what the sanctuary cities idea is, and there's a lot of organizations, a lot of individuals around the country that have done this, you know, on a kind of a, hey, this is a great idea scale. So there's one been passed in New Mexico. There was recently one passed in a little city in Texas. There have been some offered in Nebraska. You may have seen, you know, around the country videos of people going to their city council and, mm-hmm. and asking for this. And all person that is doing is we're going to step in as an aid to those efforts. There's a lot of personhood groups doing it. There's a lot of abolitionist pro-life groups doing it. And basically, we're going to provide a framework. Here's some sample resolution for your town or county. Mm-hmm. Here's a three-step process. Here's how you do it. And we're just going to kind of provide that as a means. And so if anybody wants to find out about that, they can go to sanctuarycityforlife.org.
Okay.
And so and that'll take you to a page that'll lay this all out.
And you're saying cities have done that. So you're saying there are cities
there's a city in New Mexico that passed one, Roswell, New Mexico. There's a city in Texas that kind of passed one. They passed a resolution that was very good. Mm-hmm. They passed an ordinance giving it teeth that, let's just say, the lawyers and the pro-life industry got involved in it and watered it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of efforts going around like this, and we just kind of want to come up with a formalized strategy and provide tools for people to do that.
Now, let me ask you this question. If there were, you mentioned lawyers. Mm-hmm. I wonder what those kind of folks are. attempted to use a lawsuit to try to defeat sanctuary cities for the unborn, wouldn't they have to simultaneously argue against things like sanctuary yes. cities for illegal aliens and the consistent rejection of federal law concerning things like marijuana in states right. that are trying to say, oh, we don't care what the federal law is concerning marijuana, even though the federal government treats marijuana very similar to heroin.
Right.
If we decide we want recreational marijuana, we're going to do it. If there were legal attacks launched to defeat the personhood initiatives, when they also have to take down those other things
in order to do so. Theoretically, I mean, you never know what lawyers and judges are going to do. and ultimately, what we're saying is that really shouldn't matter because mm-hmm. in our system, we don't have technically three co-equal branches of government.
I said this yesterday.
We've got the states and the people retain most of the power. They delegate a little bit to the federal government, and the legislative branch has the most power, the executive branch has less power, and the federal court. But what we're basically saying is that five unelected judges, who are appointed, by the way, in good behavior, not for life, they can be impeached, mm-hmm. who have the least power in all the federal government, have this oligarchy set up. And if they want to say you can kill children before birth, you can kill children after birth, you can own people, you can whatever you want to come up with, if they say it, then all of a sudden we have to go along with that. Mm. That's morally repugnant, and it's a violation of the rule of law.
It absolutely is. Les, would you give the website one more time
yes.
for anybody that would like to follow what's going on with the personhood initiatives and a framework for their own sanctuary cities for the unborn.
Yeah, so if you're in Mississippi, go to personhoodms.org or just find personhoodms on Facebook. And anybody in the country can go to Sanctuary City for Life.
Sanctuary City for Life. Thank you so much. .org. Sorry, sanctuaryCityForLife.org. Thank you, Les, so much for coming on to the program.
It's always a pleasure.
Stopping by. Folks, you heard it. Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn. We're living in a day where people want to sanitize a fake judicial fiat right to kill children. And as Les said, it is absolutely morally repugnant.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Wisdom from the aged. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. We live in a culture that worships youth, while the aged are often dismissed as being passé. And yet God's word extols the aged. The Bible says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding." Wisdom is the skill of thinking and living as God intends. The aged who have immersed themselves in the Word of God and followed Christ for decades have grown in wisdom that is invaluable for the next generations. We'd best listen and follow their counsel. Hear the annual interview with my parents, who are in their mid-80s, at thechristianworldview.org, and then join us this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Crime across the fruited plain. That story coming up. Dateline Hamden, Ohio. Police say Cheyenne Ewing broke into a house, sat down on a couch. They say the would-be burglar came across the family dog and started to pet the pooch. On a side note, the family should seriously consider getting a new watchdog. Miss Ewing then proceeded to the kitchen, where she washed the dishes. She was arrested after deputies found her wandering through the neighborhood, knocking on doors. They say she appeared to be under the influence of narcotics and apparently had been awake for 2 days, now charged with burglary. But hey, at least she washed the dishes. And in Memphis, Tennessee, a 320-pound man snuck a 2-foot machete past a prison metal detector. Investigators say the man tucked the giant weapon between massive rolls of belly fat. Talk about a tummy tuck. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. And since we were talking about killing of unborn children already, I thought this is one of the more ridiculous stories I came across, and the fact that the irony of the entire scenario and the galling, moral, the inability to discern the moral hypocrisy here is just galling. So here's the headline, and this is a story that originated in the Miami Herald, ultimately picked up by the Washington Post. You know, democracy dies in darkness. That's their tagline for the Washington Post, which is owned by Amazon, Jeff Bezos and them. The headline is this: A woman was seen jabbing at a sea turtle nest with a wooden stake. She's now in jail. Here we go. A 41-year-old woman was arrested by Miami Beach police. What was she arrested for? Attacking a sea turtle nest with a wooden stake. Now, y'all just follow me for a second. I want to give you the information from the story and see if you can see where I'm going with this. The woman, who is a Chinese citizen but a Michigan resident, was vacationing in the Miami area. And witnesses saw her, quote, jabbing at the sea turtle nest and stomping all over the nest with her bare feet. According to the Miami Herald, the Michigan resident was discovered inside of a fenced-off area that was cordoned to protect sea turtle hatchlings. Yellow tape, sticks, and a do not disturb sign warned the public to stay away. The woman is facing, get this, felony charges for violating Florida law and for violating the U.S. Endangered Species Act of 1973, which makes it a crime to harass sea turtles, their nests, or hatchlings. You heard that? Officials from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission inspected the nest and determined the eggs were not harmed by the woman. So y'all heard what I just said. So this woman, her Chinese ethnicity didn't protect her. This woman was arrested, put in jail on felony charges. Why? For endangering the life of unborn sea turtles. Now come go with me. What type of society do we live in when we will throw the book at a woman for threatening? And notice, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, they inspected the sea turtle nest. They went and checked it out. And for those who don't know, and I didn't know this, I had to look it up. But the way that sea turtles deal with hatchlings is that they lay eggs in self-dug holes and then cover the eggs with sand. All right. So in Florida, they cordon off the sea turtle hatchling nests, given the indications that y'all need to stay away from this because there's valuable life worthy of protection here. And the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, they inspected the scene of the crime to determine whether valuable life had been snuffed out by heinous activity. Folks, this is ridiculous that we have more care and concern in our country for unborn sea turtles than we do for children. This is mind-boggling. You want to talk about yellow tape, fenced off area, cordoned off to protect hatchlings? Well, what do you call a mother's womb? Fenced off to protect the unborn life? Commit yourself to killing children, you get corporate America endorsement deals. You get the full support of Hollywood. Corporations fall over themselves in threatening states like Georgia because they want to protect unborn children. Threaten the lives of unborn sea turtles? You get jail. Felony charges. What do you say to this? What do you say to this? What do you say to this? And all of these outlets, I mean, the Washington Post is running this like this is news. The Washington Post And this woman is thrown in jail for that. Man, truth in America has fallen in the streets. And judgment has turned backwards. The greatest need in the United States of America is repentance. Because we might not want to acknowledge this, but we have become a wicked nation. I'm not saying that every individual in the country is wicked. But if you look at the policies of our nation, what's celebrated, what's castigated, what is generally accepted, what is generally unaccepted, and that's pure wickedness, man. You want some more? I got more. New York City. The communist mayor, Bill de Blasio, celebrated this past Friday. Celebrated this past Friday that the city of New York became the first city in the nation to directly put money aside to kill babies. The city of New York announced its new budget for this year, and the budget contains a line item. If you're not familiar with that language, it's a particular description of where funds go in their budget, a specific line item dedicated to directly fund abortions. The city of New York has put aside $250,000 in taxpayer money for, here we go, the New York Abortion Access Fund, which helps pay for abortion for low-income women. Don't help them with the responsibilities of the cost, but help them kill the child. Yeah. According to, Lord, the New York Abortion Access Fund. Y'all, some of y'all gonna flip when you hear this. The money in the fund only can be used for women who are seeking to terminate their pregnancies. That's the language they use. They cannot use the money to help the women who are in difficult circumstances. The money has to be used to kill the child. Can't be reallocated for any other things. Can't be used for diapers. Can't be used for anything. No, it has to be spent on killing the child. The first city in the country. And did anybody else catch the fact that the money is put aside to help low-income women kill their children? Kind of sounds like Margaret Sanger's vision is coming to pass, don't you think? So what the city of New York has decided, you know what really poor people need, what poor mothers need, poor pregnant mothers need? Help killing their babies. That's what they value in New York. Man, I'm sick of this stuff, man. I'm sick of this stuff. I hear people tell me, Abraham, you keep talking about this stuff. You know why I keep talking about it? But the same reason why the abolitionists kept talking about slavery. Because it's people, man. People made in the image of God. Mayor Bill de Blasio and City Council Speaker Corey Johnson announced the budget agreement this past Friday. The Abortion Access Fund. Councilwoman Carlina Rivera, also a Democrat, touted the decision to directly fund abortions as historic and one that sends a clear message to Americans living in other states with more restrictive abortion laws, that they can come to New York City for the services they need. Services? You're killing children. You're killing children. The New York Abortion Access Fund made the observation that about a third of the women who would be provided money from this fund came from other states. So New York is literally making themselves a tourist destination for killing babies. If you live in a state that won't let you kill your child, no problem. Come to the city that never sleeps, where we will give you money to kill your child. And you want to tell me that's not wicked? You want to tell me that's not wicked? And who exactly are you targeting, New York? with putting this money on the side for low-income women? Man. One of the things that's happening right now is that if you were confused before, nah, you can't be confused today. The masks are off. The masks are off. You hear me? The masks are off. The line in the sand is clear. It's clear. I've gone through on the program, I don't have time to go through it now, the reasons that are given for killing children. And no, even though it's used in political circles, incest and to save the life of the mother, that's less than 1%. We're using murder as birth control. This is sick, folks. This is sick. And these people are celebrating that. Celebrating it. Celebrating it. One more for you. Joe Biden speaking before the Poor People's Campaign in Washington, D.C. I really feel like I can't finish the show. Because this is sick, man. Joe Biden is talking, by the way, if you don't know yet, he's running for president. I want you to listen to what he said. A little bit of audio from Joe Biden. Go ahead and play clip one, please, Jason.
How would you get past either a majority Republican Senate in which Mitch McConnell was determined to kill all of these ideas, or even a Mitch McConnell in the minority who repeated the consistent filibustering that happened when you were vice president, and anything that came from the Obama-Biden administration, Mitch McConnell considered dead on arrival?
Joy, I know you're one of the ones that think it's naive to think we have to work together. The fact of the matter is, if we can't get a consensus, nothing happens except the abuse of power by the executive. Zero. Number one. Number two, there are certain things where it just takes a brass knuckle fight. There's no way to do it. And so, folks, look, if you start off with the notion there's nothing you can do, well, why don't you all go home then, man? Or let's start a real physical revolution if you're talking about it. Because we have to be able to change what we're doing within our system.
Now, the first thing I want to say is, did you hear Joe Biden? He said, the fact of the matter is, if we can't get a consensus, nothing happens except the abuse of power by the executive. Was that a tacit admission by Joe Biden that the things undertaken by former B. Hussein Obama, when he did things like, I don't know, use his pen and his phone to initiate DACA after Congress rejected it repeatedly? Is that a recognition that that was an abuse of power by the executive? I mean, of course, if you can't get a consensus, and Joy Reid pointed out that many of the initiatives are supported by the House of Representatives met a filibuster in the Senate. And so because there was no consensus between the various branches of the legislature and the presidency, that all that was left was an abuse of power by the executive. Is that an admission? Former Vice President Joe Biden, I don't think he realizes exactly what he said by saying that. Admitting what many people like me have been saying, that these are abuses of power. But I don't want to stop there. Did you hear him when he said there are certain things that's going to take a brass knuckle fight, and as a result, we need to start a real physical revolution if you're talking about it? Oh, Joe talking slick. He talking spicy, talking sporty. So you people, the ones who don't believe in guns, y'all want to pick a fight, a physical fight? I don't think that's going to go too well for you. Now, I don't really think he means fisticuffs, but I can tell you one of the things I'm absolutely confident that he means is that should the Democrats get anywhere near a slight majority in the Senate, guess what's going to happen? Filibuster? Bye-bye. Bye-bye. He will get rid of the filibuster. Kind of makes you wonder why Republicans didn't do it when they had majorities, doesn't it? Thank you for tuning in, everybody. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.